Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and good afternoon or good morning for those of you who are adjusting to your late night Ramadan schedules. Alhamdulillah, I'm here today to join you with our daily characteristic from the Quran. So this is a series that we're doing here at Qalam, in which we're trying to explore some of the different characteristics of akhlaq, of character refinement, that we find within the Quran, and obviously in, as related to the Quran, the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But before I begin, I wanted just to take a minute to encourage everybody, inshallah, to visit hhrd.org. Helping Hands for Relief and Development is an amazing organization. And just like everybody is feeling the pinch of the coronavirus pandemic, and everyone's feeling their life has shifted and their mobility has stopped, without a doubt, there are people in the world that already had major, major issues and difficulties before this new challenge was introduced. And so I really want to encourage everybody to visit Helping Hands for Relief and Development, hhrd.org/Ramadan, and help out in feeding families and supporting other Muslim brothers and sisters who need our help. And inshallah, they do a great job, and we trust them totally with everything that they do. So we encourage everyone to go visit them, inshallah. So today, the characteristics that I wanted to cover was actually two characteristics that are very close together. And so we decided to join them together. The first is Hifdhul Ayman, and the second is Kitman As-Sir. They translate as, you know, protecting your oath, you know, guarding the things that you take an oath over and guarding the fact that you took an oath in the first place. And Kitman As-Sir is the protection and the discretion of secrets, the having discretion in taking care of secrets. And the reason why these two are coupled together is because they are two characteristics that deal with a very similar characteristic within somebody, which is the honor that we see in another person, the honor that we value in another person, whether it is the oath that we took with them or whether it is the secrets that they have entrusted us with and the secrets that they have disclosed to us and entrusted us with. So subhanAllah, you see that one of the things that was so remarkable about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that his entire life, he was known as somebody who never had a deficiency in his integrity. He was somebody that was absolutely just completely and totally trusted. by everybody that he was with. In fact, even in so much as when you look at the example of the Quraysh, their criticisms of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now these are people that more than anything want his message to stop. They want his message to die out. They don't want the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be successful in his preaching and his teaching of the community. And so they launched a variety of attacks against the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, they started to, whenever people would come to Mecca and visit for business or for the pre-Islamic, Hajj pilgrimage, and they would come by, they would try to launch attacks on him, and they would say things like, you know, he's a sorcerer and he's a poet and he's just a really, really good orator, and he, you know, he's going to convince you, and before you know it, you're going to be following his religion, and, you know, just stay away from him. And they would launch all kinds of attacks on him. They would attack, you know, his sensibility. They would attack whether or not, you know, they try to convince people that he had just a way with words and he was a good speaker. But the interesting thing, subhanAllah, is that they never attacked his trustworthiness. They never attacked his trustworthiness. The first reason why they never did so was because they simply couldn't, right? They simply couldn't. Like, they couldn't attack his trustworthiness because he didn't have any deficiency in his integrity or in his trustworthiness. He was somebody that was known as a Sadiq al-Amin. This is something that, like, we teach our kids even, you know, in their first years of Sunday school, that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was known as a Sadiq and al-Amin. He was the one who was completely and totally truthful in everything that he said. And he was al-Amin, which was somebody that is trusted and somebody that has and provides safety for people that are around them with anything that they're entrusted with. And so this characteristic was something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had from the beginning of his life throughout all of his message. And this was something that absolutely, without a doubt, served as a proof of his prophethood and served as a proof and as a foundation, a pillar of his character. We know the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qalam, he says to the Prophet ﷺ that you are like the pinnacle of noble character. You're on top of it. You're like the master of good character. And we know that there are so many different kinds of character traits that we can talk about. The Prophet ﷺ's generosity, you know, his mercy, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he was a mercy to all of creation. There are so many different characteristics, but if you look at the pillar of somebody's foundation of their character, it has to be their trustworthiness. Because if a person's not trustworthy, then no matter what other character traits they have, no matter what other, you know, beautiful ornamentation of their character that they have, if they're not trustworthy and if they're not trusted, then they will have nobody around them to be able to use that good character on. Because no, a person who is not trusted does not have very many people around them. And so these characteristics from the Quran, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly will make reference. You know, the ayah that's mentioned on the flyer, one of them is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions and he says that, you know, Allah ta'ala will not hold you to account for what, for the oaths that you take that are not, you know, that are expressed in lightness, but rather he will take you to account for those oaths that you did actually mean. He will take you to account. So sometimes, you know, you might make an oath and that oath is like a hyperbole. It's a rhetorical device, right? It's not necessarily that you're taking an oath that you're going to deliver, but you might be swearing by something as a way of trying to convince somebody. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that he's not going to take you to account. That Allah Ta'ala is not going to take you to account for what? For the oaths that you take that are in rhetoric, but rather he will take you to account for breaking of the oaths that you actually had intended, that you actually intended to take. So this idea of keeping one's promise is something that is not just good character. It's actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, it's something that's really going to be held to account on the day of judgment. That Allah ta'ala will take us to account, right? Akhada, like he will take something. He will hold something. He will hold a person accountable for this. So much so that when a person breaks their oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's an expiation for it. There's a kafara. There's something that a person has to do. If you break your oath, it's not just like, oh, well, you know, I broke it and that's okay. No, there's actually something. Allah ta'ala says that there's an expiation. He continues. What is the expiation? That you have to feed 10 needy people. That you have to feed 10 needy people. And this is interesting because a lot of times we think of expiation in the major, major acts of worship. You know, there's expiation when it comes to fasting. There's expiation when it comes, expiations kind of, or penalties, you can call them, when it comes to Hajj. There's an expiation or a way that a person has to have a financial penalty when they violate something in fasting or when they violate their Hajj. And now all of a sudden we're finding out that there's an expiation for breaking an oath. It shows you that we value fasting and Hajj. I mean, they're the pillars of this religion. Fasting, if somebody said to me, you know what, I don't fast or I don't ever want to make Hajj, it would be something that would really cause a lot of distress in the hearts of Muslims. But when somebody says like, yeah, I'm not going to really keep that promise, it doesn't cause that same amount of distress. And so there's a very valuable lesson here in that Islam is not only built on these major, major pillars of religiosity and of worship, rather Islam is also built upon, or the Islam of a Muslim is also built upon following the not just the bricks, but the mortar as well. What's in between that hold that faith together. And he says that min alamat al-nifaq, that from the signs of hypocrisy, or min alamat al-munafiq, I'm sorry, min alamat al-munafiqi thalathatun. He says that a hypocrite has three signs. From the signs of a hypocrite, there are three. That he says, wa in sama wa in salla wa za'ama annahu muslimun. That says that even if this person fasts, and even if they praise, and even if they claim to be a Muslim, what does that mean, that little sentence there? That even if the person has all the outer aspects of religiosity, then the Prophet ﷺ said there are three things that if you look for them, even if they fast, even if they pray, and even if they swear to you that they're a Muslim, that there's something wrong with this person. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. The first thing is that when they speak, they lie. And this is one of the traits that's mentioned, you know, in the Quran, truthfulness, sidq, right? To be truthful. This is obviously, we talk about the Prophet ﷺ as sadiq, right? The one who is truthful. But this also goes to the next characteristic that the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. That when they make a promise, that they break that promise. So they speak to people and they lie. Why do they do that? Because they don't value the honor of that person that they're speaking to. They think that person is stupid. They think that person is dumb. That's why I can lie to you. I can lie to you because I think that you're not smart enough to detect my lie. Right? So it's devaluing the other person. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when I promise, I break it. Why do I break promises? Because I don't value you as a person. I don't think that I have to keep my promise to you. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And this is now transferring over to the next characteristic, كِتْمَانَ السِّرِ, to be discreet in a person's secrets. That when a person is trusted, the Prophet ﷺ says that the hypocrite has no problem whatsoever, no issue whatsoever breaking that trust. That somebody comes to you and they tell you, hey, you know, like, this is something that I'm going through, or this is something I need advice on, or this is something that I'm struggling with. What do you think? And the person, you know, they hear the secret, and then later they go and they indulge and they spread it and they tell other people. And this is something, by the way, that is one of the most like horrid and horrific things that a person can do. And we justify these things in all different ways. You know, we really do. Imam Ghazali talks about this in his Bidayat al-Hidayah. I'll never forget when Mufti Kamani, you know, he has the lecture series on Bidayat al-Hidayah. It's called The Beginning of Guidance. It's by Imam Ghazali. It's a great book. It's a book that kind of combines spirituality, you know, worship, fiqh, law, some things. But he gives a lot of good advices as well in that book. And Mufti Kamani was teaching it. It's on the Qalam podcast. You can find it online. And one of the chapters Mufti Kamani, he talks about, he says, or not Mufti Kamani, Imam Ghazali, sorry, Mufti Kamani was speaking about this. Imam Ghazali talks about that. He says that, you know, sometimes people, they wear the garb of religiosity and then they'll sit and they'll start to backbite people, or they'll sit and they'll start to divulge secrets, right? And a lot of times the backbiting is also a divulging of someone's secret. So you're violating kitman as-sir, you're violating being discreet in people's, in the secrets that they're giving to you. So they'll tell someone like, hey, did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Did you hear what happened to this person? Oh, this person told me this. Oh, don't tell them. Don't tell them I told you. Don't tell them. All these little, you know, prefaces that we give, subhanAllah. And Imam Ghazali says, you know, and this is why the hadith is so powerful, that it says, wa in sama wa in salla, you know, wa za'ama annahu muslim, that they fast and they pray and they swear to everybody, they claim that they're a Muslim. Imam Ghazali says, don't try to do these disgusting sins. that somebody trusted you and you had the filthy heart that you broke that trust, and you promised somebody something and they depended on you. You promised them something and they depended on you. They thought you were going to deliver, and then you just broke it. You never even intended. You never even tried. You know, it's one thing for a person to try. It's one thing for a person to accidentally let a secret slip, accidentally. It's one thing for a person to try to keep their promise, but to never intend to do so in the first place, right? That's a sign of a very, very filthy heart. So Imam Ghazali says, don't just do that and then finish up by saying, may Allah Ta'ala guide us all, Allah Yahdina Jami'an, like, oh, may Allah guide us all. He says, that's like taking some garbage and wrapping a bow on it. He's like, why would you do that? You're going to finish up this horrible session of you violating your oaths and backbiting and breaking people's trust, and you're going to say, oh, may Allah guide us all. He said, don't bring that into this. Don't bring a beautiful dua into such a horrible moment. So what can we do to make sure that we never engage in these kinds of practices? Number one is we have to realize exactly what Surah Al-Ma'idah told us. Allah Ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Ma'idah that this is something that we are going to be held accountable for. It's not something that we're just going to like casually be able to brush off. You know, people are very concerned about their salah, very concerned about their fasting, very concerned about their zakat, their hajj. There's other things that we have to be really concerned about that deal with our character. And Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse number 89, tells us such. The second thing we have to realize is that this is an indication of nifaq. This is an indication of hypocrisy. The Prophet ﷺ said such. He said that when a person does this, and this hadith, by the way, is in both Bukhari and Muslim. It's muttafaqun alayh. It's a authentic hadith in both of these collections where the Prophet ﷺ said this. So if a person takes these things lightly, then it is a strong indication that there is something very wrong with them inside. You know how concerned you become when you're like driving your car and there's like a problem, the check engine light shows up and you take it to the dealership, and the dealership, you know, they tell you, the guy comes and he says, there's something really wrong. It's not an easy fix. Or, you know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor, they take some tests and they call you back and you sit down and they say, sit down, I have to talk to you about something. This is not going to be an easy conversation. You know the feeling when like your heart just drops to your stomach and you're like, oh man, like I thought this is going to be like something simple. I thought it was going to be an easy fix. Nifaq is not an easy fix. Hypocrisy is not an easy fix. It's a really serious problem. And so these are the warning signs, min alamat. These are the signs that the Prophet ﷺ gave us so that we can identify this disease before it takes over us. So if you have a problem keeping your promises, hifdhul ayman, or if you have a problem maintaining someone's secrets, number one, don't make promises. Know yourself. Number two, if somebody's going to indulge a secret or divulge a secret to you, don't let them, right? Don't let them. Until you know you're able to protect the oath that you're taking and the secret that you're guarding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are more prophetic in our character. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are so beautiful in our character that people don't have to rely upon our prayer and our fast to know that we're Muslim. Like obviously those are there, but we hope that inshallah one day our character is so nice that people won't have to rely upon the beard and the topis and the hijab and whatnot and the fasting just so people know that we're Muslim, but they can look at our character. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make our character beautiful, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us in the dua, oh Allah, just like you made my outer beautiful, so beautify my character. For hassin khuluqi, make my character beautiful as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Jazakallah khair, everybody, for joining us today for our characteristics from the Quran, refining our character from the Quranic text. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Join us every day for Qalam. We have two sessions every day, this at 2 p.m. And at night, we do our daily, or nightly, I should say, recitation and reflection of the Quran, a juz every night. So if you want to finish the Quran, then do it with us, inshallah. And make sure that you stop by supportqalam.com. to become a monthly sustainer at whatever level, to continue supporting the work that we're doing and trying to help the ummah come closer to their faith. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. Have a great day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.